In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. And I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. First String Sports is, I mean, it's the go-to place, right? Blackstone Avenue, you know where it is, in between Sierra and Herndon Avenues. I've done my show here since day one in a Letterman's Jacket room, just off to the right-hand side. Definitely the place to be. I love this place. And a little bit of decorating here in the store on the far wall when you walk in. They put all their hats, all the high school hats. So you see a lot of the Clovis schools and Fresno Unified schools see their hats against the wall. It's amazing atmosphere. I wouldn't want to do my show anywhere else. So thank you to First String Sports for being an incredible supporter of high school student athletes throughout the Central Valley. I want to also thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show and sponsoring 1430 ESPN. As you guys know, it's heating up, right? High of 93 degrees today. Currently sits at 73. Remember that great weather that we've had, I don't know, the last 6 weeks or so? Well, that great weather that we've had is now going to be replaced with those dreaded 90 degrees. And, of course, it's going to be creeping up to 100 before we know it. You know, you look at the app on your phone and you see those 93s, you see the red, and you know it's coming. You know it's coming. And you know what else is coming? Well, we got a lot of stuff in the month of May for sure. State meets, Central Section meets, championship games. This is an incredible part of the high school season, May. I mean, May is it's a culmination of a great year of high school sports, and we're happy to bring you a lot of the action here on 1430 ESPN. We'll be talking on today's show, pure high school sports talk for the next 2 hours. On today's show, after the break, chatting with Gabe Camarillo, know him from Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. He's done an incredible job throughout the season, breaking down the brackets on Max Preps, or I should say the current rankings on Max Preps and predicting the brackets. We're going to be talking about the baseball brackets. They're going to be released today on the CIF website around 3 o'clock. Sometimes they come a little bit earlier, sometimes a little bit later. So let's just meet in the middle and say around 3 o'clock, the baseball bracket's going to be released on the CIF Central Section website. Gabe and I are going to be breaking that down, predicting who's going to go where. And, you know, there's a few tiebreakers, and things could get a little messy every once in a while, but we're going to give it our best shot, let you guys know what we think is going to happen around 3 o'clock concerning the brackets. At the bottom of hour number one, Dara Johnson. She's the athletic director at Hoover High School. I've known Dara for years. Our kids are about the same age. Yeah, she is an incredible, incredible person. Really looking forward to talking with her. I've had her. Oh, my gosh, she's here already. Look at her. She's there on the right. Hi, Dara. Welcome. Here early. I love it. Dara's coming on the show. We're going to talk about all things Hoover, all the great things that are going on over there. You know, they have the new pool, and they've had a lot of success on the court with boys basketball especially. So we'll be talking about all the good things that are happening at Hoover High School. At the top of hour number two, Zach Weaver, Buchanan track and field. You know, Buchanan's had a great run on the boys and girls side, obviously. Zach, you know, is the coach's son, Brian Weaver. He's the director of sport there at Buchanan High, director of the Central Section Masters Meet, the state meet that is happening in 2 weeks as well. Zach is part of the state leading 4x800 relay race. Looking forward to talking to Zach at the top of hour number two. At the bottom of hour number two, to close up the show, Mike Brink. Mike Brink's a longtime umpire. He is the color guy with Jose Gonzalez with broadcast baseball games. Mike is, you want to know about Central Section baseball, Mike Brink is your guy. He's connected everywhere. Really looking forward to talk to Mike Brink. All right, a few things before we hit the break. A couple news and notes here. Volleyball. The volleyball championships in boys were last Thursday. Congrats to Clovis East. They defeated Clovis in four games. Clovis East has been the dominant team all season in Division I, and they took it. And if you guys have not seen high-level volleyball. It is awesome. It is awesome. That gym was absolutely packed at Clovis East. Saw a few clips there. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go to that. But congratulations to the Timberwolves and they'll Clovis. They'll be advancing to the so-called SoCal state bracket as well. San Luis Obispo won the D2 title, defeating Fresno Christian in four games as well. I want to mention, too, Yosef Ferris. He's been on the show, friend of the show. He's the Justin Garza head football coach. Brought him on this last school year, because he went on an internship in the NFL, and he was able to go to the Atlanta Falcons training camp. He has a fellowship again with them this year. Man, that dude he's on fire, and he really enjoyed his time. He was able to sit into the defensive back special teams meetings, so he's been able to do it again. So Yosef Ferris, Justin Garza, doing it again. Awesome, awesome experience for that guy. Turning to softball a bit, Ryan Maddox of Clovis North, she's been on the show as well. She is up for the Max Preps National Player of the Year. Only one of 15 student athletes up for consideration. Clovis North, they're going to be the number one team when the brackets come out. They are definitely the team to beat. Ryan and Max had a phenomenal year, headed to the University of Arizona. They did lose this week. They were undefeated. They were ranked number one in the state by Max Preps, obviously, and by SB Live and Cal High Sports as well. But they were beat. Central beat them 2-1. And it was a game that Ryan didn't start on in the circle. And she actually relieved in that game after Central got their runs and threw six shutout innings after that. But Ryan Maddox, congratulations to her, up for National Max Preps Player of the Year. And the CIF Central Section did a really cool thing a couple weeks ago. They've done it for a while now. They honor Central Section scholar athletes. And the two winners this year was Kingsburg's James Cranford and Carruthers' Morgan Trigero. They were the top scholar athletes in the Central Section. Each league had two representatives, and CAF Central Section did it right. They had a big banquet, and it was a first class event. So congratulations to James Cranford, Kingsburg, Morgan Trigero of Carruthers. Cranford 4.02 GPA, 4 varsity sports. Trigero, 4.09 GPA, 4-year letterman in basketball, softball, and volleyball. We know what she's done in basketball. So congratulations to those two. I also want to mention McLean head baseball coach, Jim Sirimarco. His career is winding down. He's preparing to retire after 53 years. Yeah, you heard that right, 53 years. Earlier this year, he reached a 400 career wins mark. When they beat Roosevelt 10-0, all this information is by Bob Barnett, our Central Section historian, who does a fantastic job. And then you reach win number 401 when they defeated Roosevelt again on May 5th. He's got one Central Section title to his credit, the D3 title in 2008 when they beat South 11-3. I know how well-respected Jim is among the Central Valley. I want to mention, too, before we hit the break, where is Josh Hokett? You guys know the guy, right? Clovis High, superstar in football and wrestling. Just an incredible athlete. Just absolutely built different. We know what he did at Fresno State. He was committed to wrestling to Drexel and wanted to do both in college. Wanted to wrestle and play football. And he walked on to Fresno State. And you know what impact he made? He was definitely a fan favorite. Fullback, running back, a little bit of everything, was on the 49ers practice squad for the last few years. Well, what's Josh doing now? Well, I'm not surprised. And those of you that know Josh, probably not surprised either. But the dude has signed a multi-fight contract with Bellator. Yep, guy's going MMA in the heavyweight division. He's excited about it. I remember talking to Coach Rich Hammond about Josh. And Hammond asked Josh, well, Josh, what do you want to really do after high school? Maybe I want to play football, but, I really want to fight in MMA. And this is kind of really before MMA took off big time. Just kind of chuckle, but knowing Josh, you know that he was dead serious about this. So here he is. He's getting his shot. I know his brother, Isaiah, is a part of that as well. So, yep, look for that on Josh. getting into the throwing his hat in the MMA ring. What a dude. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be breaking down the baseball playoffs. This is what you guys have been looking forward to all year. If you've been following baseball, the playoff seedings, always controversy, right? Always controversy with how the seedings are done, what's fair, what's not fair. So Gabe and I are going to be breaking that down, letting you guys know who might land where on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. PremiumBeat.com. Bringing the dubstep right there. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in. You can follow me on the Twitter machine at Paul Meadors, PaulMeadors. You can also follow 1430 at 1430 ESPN. And if you miss any parts of any show, we got the history here. Just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. You can listen to any and all episodes, past episodes. If you happen to miss anything, go back and check it out. Thank you guys for doing that. Really appreciate it. Talking with Gabe Camarillo. You know him from Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5 every day. You can go back and listen to his shows. And I do that. I'll be honest, man. I see on Twitter who he has on the show. I'm like, yeah, I definitely want to listen to that segment. I'm not able to watch it or listen to it live. I'll go back on my phone and I'll listen to it and I'll walk around the house with my AirPods in and check out all the good stuff that he's able to talk about. And good stuff's going to be happening in the next few weeks. That's for darn sure here in the Central section. And one thing that that's held our attention for the last few months is baseball. We love high school baseball. We love checking out games and talking to coaches and players. High school baseball is certainly strong here in the Central Valley. And Gabe Camarillo's done a fantastic job with eyeballs on the field and getting his hands dirty and doing the dirty work. So, first of all, Gabe, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate you producing the show and everything that you do. All right, here we go, my friend.
Here we go. Hey, by the way, I wanted to add this real quick. You listening to the podcast, I appreciate that. That makes two of us in the Valley that listen back to my podcast.
Who's the other one?
You.
Oh,
and
me.
You and I. That makes two of us.
No, Gabe, you got a lot more fans. You're selling yourself very, very short. But, yeah, I mean, here we are, Gabe. We talked, you know, when it's football season, what are we talking about? Rankings and playoffs and who might go there. Basketball season with the same thing and baseball. It could be a little convoluted at times, but let's just start at the top. Let's start with the big boys and Division I. We've gone to 16 teams this year. Last year was 8. I've heard different opinions. And you and I have talked to a lot of coaches in the last few months about this. But, you know, 16 teams, I kind of like it. Obviously, the teams aren't trickling down to the other divisions, which is always could be hard for some of the teams that have really good years. But, you know, how are you seeing Division I shaken up right now?
I think there's an argument to be made for the first six teams. I mean, you can even go down to 8-seed Frontier and 9-seed Rigetti. Each team in the top 6 to 8 have a legitimate argument of winning Division I. And I think that's something we've talked about a lot this year, of how wide open it is. Every team has an ace. Bullet has Cam Schneider. Stockdale has Ryan Featherston. Redwood has Joey Volchko, who you talked to a couple weekends ago. And boy, I've heard he's touched 98. Like, he's touched 98 recently. And if he's throwing 98 in the postseason, that's unhittable. Clovis has Logan Georges, who is back in action. Western has Moose Cuellar. Like, there's so many arms. That's what I look at with Division I, especially the top 6 to 8, is the pitching. And so if you want to win a Division I championship, you're going to have to beat a really good arm, and you might have to throw your own good arm. And so we could see these 4-2, 3-1, you know, 5-4 games, maybe the most high scoring we get because of the caliber of pitching in Division I.
And if you are not familiar with how all this works, we're going off Max Preps rankings. That's what CAF does. And there might even be some school that people are like, really, that school's going to be in D1. Or people that are listening might be like, whoa, that school's in our section rankings, like San Luis Obispo. Yes, our coastal schools are in the central section for playoffs. I'm going to go down the list, Gabe, 1 through 16 for your predictions. Again, these are your predictions. Something might be, when they come out around 3 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly.
Some might be different. But I'm just going to go 1 through 16 right now and just name off the schools so everybody out there is at least familiar with the schools and where their positions might be. So Bullard is number 1, as you mentioned. Buchanan, number 2. Stockdale, number 3. Then we got Redwood, Clovis, and Tulare Western. I'm going to talk about that in a second, where that might get a little tricky. Then you have Centennial, Bakersfield, Frontier, Rigetti, as you mentioned, then Madera, Liberty Bakersfield, there's Clovis West, El Diamante, Fresno High, Clovis East, and San Luis Obispo. There's the full 16 teams that we predict, that you predict, I should say, is going to be placed in the Division I. That's how it's going to shape up.
Fresno High in Division I. Oh, jeepers. I mean, how should you feel about that if you're Fresno High? It's a compliment because you're seen by Max Preps and apparently by the Central Section as a Division I caliber team. And so that is a compliment in itself. But Fresno High has a negative strength of schedule on Max Preps. They have not faced a strong schedule in North Yosemite League play. And when you're going to put them up against potentially a Stockdale, who has played a tough schedule in league play, I mean, you're looking at the Southwest Yosemite River League. They have Liberty in here. They got Stockdale. You got Frontier. And you got Centennial all within the top 11 seeds. So Stockdale's battle-tested, and Fresno High is not. And that's why Fresno High should be a Division II team. I've always said the difference between Division I and Division II is who you play. If you play Division II teams, you're a Division II team yourself. If you play Division I teams, not just in the non-conference, but also in the conference play, you're a Division I team. And I know Fresno High can't control who they play, but they have to be judged by who they play.
Well, you could also make a point for that for number 13 at El Diamante. Clovis East, we know what they did last year, winning the D2 title. Coach Ryan Smith does a fantastic job. That's a track team. And then San Luis Obispo, they've made some noise in the playoffs the last couple of years. But Gabe, but then you got to look at Division II, right? So who are the teams that could have potentially been a Division I type team? So you think of Bakersfield Christian, who's the number one team in Division II. Think of Cabrillo. Well, I don't see them as a Division I team. Lemoore, no. St. Joseph, possibly, especially in the next couple of years from the way it looks. Kerman, definitely not. I mean, we know what happened to them in Division II last year. They were undefeated 28-0. So it's like someone's like, well, who are you going to bump up there? And that's one of the downfalls with the 16 teams compared to the 8 teams. Why? I mean, 8 teams, you could almost say, Gabe, that that's like an open division, right? I know our open division here was when we had it for basketball was 4 teams. But, hey, when we had 8 teams, I mean, those are the best. Those are the best of the best. But, yeah, you know, the 11 through 16 type teams, those teams, you know, it's always tough sledding for them come to playoffs.
You know, the cruel irony of this is last year was 8 teams in Division I, and so that brought Clovis High, Clovis East, Clovis North, and Central all down to Division II. And Division II coaches like Jason Pappy at Fresno High were up in arms about it because they're saying, how can Division I only be 8 teams? You are diluting the Division I field. Actually, you're diluting the Division II field with Division I teams. That's not how it's supposed to be done. You looked at the late playoff games. It was Clovis North versus Clovis East in Division II. The championship game in Division II was Clovis East Central. So you're diluting Division II with Division I teams by only having 8 in Division I. So therefore, Jason Pappy came out and helped make it a movement to put Division I back to 16 teams. Well, the cruel irony in that is by making it go from 8 to 16 teams, Jason Pappy was behind that. Because of that, his Warriors are in Division One.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If it was 12 teams, Fresno High is in Division Two.
Yeah. If it's 12 teams, you have a bye. So there's lots of different factors in that. But I think you're right, Gabe. You know, with those arms that you mentioned, when you got a kid like Volchko and their number two, Reese Bueno, talking about Redwood, I mean, that is going to be tough. I'm looking right now. If that shakes up with Clovis being the 5 and Redwood being the 4, that's a pretty tasty matchup of 4-5. Mm-hmm. And then the winner of that, if Bullard holds on, they play Bullard, and that would even be in the semifinals. How crazy is that?
I mean, I'm looking at Bullard's run through the Division I playoffs. They could potentially face San Luis Obispo in the first round. But if they get past that, then they got Frontier or Rigetti, both of whom are looking really good this year. Frontier has their 5 top batters from last year's team that, if you remember, scored 17 runs on Buchanan. Frontier is a good offensive team, and they got a UCLA commit on the mound. Rigetti, I keep hearing about Rigetti and how strong they're doing on the coast. And, you know, last year they shut a lot of us up here in Fresno by beating Clovis West at Clovis West. So they earned their respect. Bullard, if they get past either of those teams, then they got, as you said, Redwood or Clovis. Like, Bullard's run is kind of tough if you really look at it.
No, it is. No, it's – you know, as we said all season, there's not one like true outstanding team in the Central Section this year. There are a lot of really good teams. And, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if the finals was like a 5-8 matchup. I think the baseball season can end up like that. I want to mention, too, Gabe, that the games are Wednesdays and Fridays, right? Baseball Wednesdays and Fridays,
yes.
And softball's Tuesday, Thursday for playoffs. Okay. Division two, like I mentioned, Bakersfield Christian is number one, Cabrillo two, Lemoore three, St. Joseph four, Kerman five, Atascadero six. Then we have a few teams that we're kind of unfamiliar with. We have Atascadero, Highland, Ridgeview, Arroyo Grande. Hanford's had a good year, a little inconsistent. Lompoc, there's Central High. And then, Gabe, something that stands out to me, there's Clovis North, a track school, as the 13th seed projected. Then you have Mission Prep, Sanger. And then there's the bubble team, Gabe. I was actually surprised when I saw this because I had them not even making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But that's San Joaquin Memorial at 16. Does Memorial make it?
They barely make it, I think, because – oh, I mean, they could put Dinuba as a 16 in Division 2, and I wouldn't bat an eye. But I think they make it because Dinuba gets dumped down to Division 3 because they lost to Central Valley Christian. And this is the stuff that I'm not totally certain on. Like, if you're San Joaquin Memorial, you're thinking about the NCAA men's basketball tournament and the stress-filled rooms with, the bubble teams, the last four in, the first four out, those kind of teams. That's Memorial at 3 o'clock this Saturday afternoon. They truly are on the bubble for Central Section baseball playoffs.
Yeah, we're not used to that. Memorial finished 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5th in the league at 4-10. Justin Garza was at the bottom at 3-11 with no seniors. So, yeah, we'll be waiting to see if Memorial sneaks in there as a 16. Well, they're based D1, so they can't go lower than Division 2. In Division 3, which, man, I am super excited about this division, man. This is going to be a very fun one. Kingsburg, we know what Kingsburg has done this year. They beat Clovis. They beat Clovis West. They got a really strong squad there. And, I mentioned Cranford as being the CIF Central Section Scholar Athlete. Well, his dad, Jimmy, is Mr. Cranford is the baseball coach at Kingsburg. Dos Palace is number two. Fowler, number three. Washington Union, number four. Those are four really, really strong baseball programs.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see all four. If those are the four in Division III, the top four, wouldn't be surprised to see them all advance to the final four.
Yeah, I'm very excited about Division III. Division IV, really quick, Liberty and Madera. They've had a fantastic baseball season, number one. Morro Bay, number two. Arvin, three. And Emmanuel, four.
Okay, hold on. Why is Liberty Madera a base D5 team? I just want to ask that right now, okay? They're literally rated higher than most of the Division III teams, and they're a base D5 team. Like, I think this should be the heavy favorite to win D4. I just wanted to say that. They beat Fowler 15-0 yesterday, and Fowler is a top two seed in the Division III.
I saw that, man. They're playing really good baseball right now. So congrats to Liberty on having a fantastic team. Projected number one. All right, Gabe. So overall sense of playoffs and, the excited, part of it. I know in 2 weeks it's a wild weekend. The state track and field meet at Buchanan is happening. Mountain West baseball tournament at Fresno State.
Thanks for reminding me. I got to figure out a way to clone myself. I gotta figure out cloning technology. Cloning technology is going to come in before May 27th, I hope.
And I can't wait. We're going to be refreshing that button on the CIF Central Section website for those brackets. But overall, Gabe, what has been your sense of baseball, the landscape of baseball this year in the Central Section as we approach playoff time?
Well, you mentioned it about Division III, and I misspoke. Fowler's a top three seed, I think. They'll be the three seed in Division III. Some of those Division III teams beat Division I teams. Kingsburg beat Clovis West and Clovis. Dos Palos beat Madera. Fowler beat Kingsburg. I mean, these are really good Division III teams, and so my takeaway from this season is the gap between Division I and Division III teams in a single-game elimination playoff setting, you might see Madera win in Division I. You might see Fresno beat Stockdale in Division I. It can happen in one game, but the problem I have with putting Fresno and Madera in Division I is not that they can win one game. It's that they have to win four games against elite competition when, let's be honest, Fresno and Madera have not faced that in several weeks. They can't control that. Madera is playing in a very down CMAC. You talked about Memorial being fifth place in the CMAC. That never happens usually. And Fresno is playing in the North Yosemite League, which a lot of those teams either are not going to make the playoffs or playing in Division IV, Division V. Like, I think Fresno and Madera could win a game in Division I, but to ask them to win four, and that's going to be how they have to win a Central Section title, they should be rewarded as a good Division II team with the chance to win a Division II Central Section title. I'll leave it at that.
Well, here we are, you know, Central Section Baseball playoffs are upon us, and we are definitely here for it. Good job by you, Gabe, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. I got to get some, what's the word, Navage for my sinuses? I keep feeling congested.
You've been struggling this week. You know, I heard you coughing on air a couple times. You got to take care
Dang
of yourself.
You see, that I'm trying to forget about that, Paul. I keep trying to forget about it, that I coughed on the air. And you know what's so funny is I prided myself the last couple weeks when I've been battling allergies. I haven't coughed once. On Wednesday, I let one slip, and I was like, no, I almost made it through allergy season without coughing. But well, thank you for reminding me, Paul. I appreciate
you
it.
You bet. Great moments in sports talk radio history. All right. Thanks, Gabe.
Absolutely, Paul. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Sounds good. Coming up after the break, Hoover Athletic Director Dara Johnson. Really excited to talk to her after the break here on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Happy Saturday, everybody out there. This is 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Meadows, and this is the Central Valley Sports Report. One of the great parts about doing this radio gig is bringing on people that I've known for a while and bringing on people that are doing great things in the community, great things for the school. If you're familiar with how I love to operate, I love when alumni of the school come back and pour back into their students. I love that. To me, that's important. You feel a love for your school, and you love your school so much, you come back and you pour in. And I have somebody to my left right now, Dara Johnson, Hoover High Athletic Director, coached basketball there for many years. You're a standout athlete there. You graduated in 1991. You are Hoover through and through. I don't think I've ever seen you not wearing green, not wearing the green. But Dara, thanks for coming in. This has been a long time coming, and yeah, so great to see you,
Paul. It's great to be here, and I just want to thank you for you have done an amazing job at spotlighting all of the Central Valley, and I really appreciate where your heart is at for our student athletes and our programs at every school. So thank you so much, Paul.
You bet, appreciate it. Month of May. How crazy is the month of May? Like, you know, I'm a teacher too, and I coach sports, and it's like we're already pretty much halfway through May, but what a whirlwind this month is for everybody, especially in sports.
Yeah. You know, we're lucky because we have so many opportunities for students in high school to participate in a number of things. Sports just being one of them, but the month of, geez, spring sports alone is insane. We have 26 programs, you know, throughout the year, and a majority of them are in the springtime. So when playoffs come, senior nights, you know, I just, all the celebrations, the great things that are available to our kids, our coaches, our staff and our community, it's really cool to be a part of so many different exciting things.
Do you feel, I kind of base my school year on the seasons of sports, right? You go in August and it's football season, volleyball season, then you move into soccer and basketball, and then the spring sports, as you mentioned. Does it feel like, I mean, here we are in May. Does it feel like the school year just flies by? But the days can be super long. You're like, really? It's only like 10:32 in the morning. I've had to deal with all this. But the years go by fast, don't
Absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. I cannot believe we're in May. And I know what you're saying, because the days do go, they're long. I was at Hoover until 8:45 last night, well after games were done. We hosted our last league softball and baseball game, had great turnout with parents, senior night, lots of fun, but there's still lots to do behind the scenes. Yet the week flew by. I can't believe it's already Saturday, and I'm lucky to be sitting here with you right now. So yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Well, you also have those benchmarks throughout the week as well. It's like, okay, I got to go back to work on Monday, but I got a game tomorrow, right? And then Friday, looking forward to that. As I mentioned in the opener, you are Hoover through and through, and you know, I just appreciate people like you in the community so much. What does it mean to you to be the athletic director, now the athletic director at Hoover High?
Yeah, I am super blessed. I cannot believe that I wake up every day and do what I do, honestly. I was lucky to work with three prior athletic directors. I was assistant athletic director for 23 years. So
is your second year?
First year.
First
this
year.
Is, we're at the end
first
of my year. First year. And it is a blast. And I am lucky to be back at my alum, right? Because you're right. It's funny. I had a couple of kids come in, a couple of football players on Thursday during lunchtime. you know, Coach Johnson, I'm just curious, what does it take to be an athletic director? Like, what's the job, right? And they were so amazing. They hung out for a couple minutes and they couldn't believe the amount of people that just came through the office and the phone calls. And they go, do you enjoy it? I said, I love it. Are you kidding? We're providing opportunities for our community. And I couldn't, there is such a passion about that. So, yeah, I'm really fortunate.
Well, I think sometimes people think of athletic director, oh, all you do is hire coaches, fire coaches, get mad at coach, or whatever, behind the scenes, attend games and stand back on the side. But, oh, my gosh, set schedules, right? But there's so many things behind the scenes that most people don't know about.
No, and for me, it's about relationships. I mean, that's always been my touchstone is relationships. And don't get me wrong, I have had some major missteps this year because I am so passionate. I tend to push a little bit too hard, right? So in reflecting on year one as athletic director and knowing the direction that I want to move forward, part of that is just listening a little bit more because, you know, Paul, you and I are both talkers. I mean, we could talk all day right now, but year two is about, okay, now that I've settled into this a little bit more, now I need to start listening a little bit more to my community, my coaches, my student athletes, and make a plan moving forward, which we have started. So I am excited to be here to talk a little bit more about
summer. Well, yeah, so tell me about some of, when I was able to talk to you during during basketball season, got to a little tour of your office and got to see all the cool stuff that's going on. What are some of the neat programs that you have going on over there at Hoover?
So I am lucky right now. Another partnership, big partnership, is obviously with Fresno Unified, and working with assistant superintendents specifically, Brian Wells and you know, him trying to grow athletics in Fresno Unified and provide support through Goal 2, and then Jeremy Ward through Extended Learning. So we have lots of cool things that we're rolling out. You probably have started hearing about summer camps through Extended Learning and Fresno Unified. I mean, they're providing like fly fishing and mountain climbing, and all kinds of cool experiences. But in partnering with them, we've already been able to provide a winter all-sport camp. This last winter, we did it for the community, free of charge, at Tioga Middle School. And I had a lot of coaches come on in, and we're building skills within our communities, and we're just trying to put Hoover on the map to let them know, hey, we are here for you. Look what we're doing. So we, in saying that, we have what's called Athletic Summer Bridge Academy. And that starts day one of summer school. That's going to coincide with the academic Summer Bridge Academy. I'm coordinating both of those and partnering with so many amazing leaders on our campus and providing skill work. On top of that, though, Paul, we also have an NCAA coordinator coming in and talking to the kids about college, right, and what it's going to take to get them to college if that's the route that they choose. We also have nutritional lessons. So I partner with my athletic trainer and she comes in and we talk about what does it take to be prepared to be an athlete at a high level, including things like recovery, right? That oftentimes goes, forgotten. So, but on top of that, team building, and we're going to be building our green and white pack during the summer. And what that is, that just stands for Patriot Athletic Community. And that is a bunch of partners in that. Obviously, our student athletes, obviously, our coaches, but beyond, we're going to be bringing our other adult leaders from our campus on. So our student athletes know the resources that they have available to them and that they're part of a community, and then extend that beyond. I spoke to a group of parents yesterday at our JV baseball game about that pack mentality, the green and white pack. And people are excited after the pandemic, which I'm probably getting ahead of myself here. And I can't talk all day, Paul. I'll take a pause right here. What's your next question?
No, that's perfect, Dara. I'm talking with Dara Johnson, athletic director of Hoover. No, absolutely perfect. People out there need to know the programs because, Dara, it's a different world out there, right? Yeah. You talk about the times that we grew up playing sports different, right? It was almost like you just go from one sport to the next, right? Uh-huh. You're just playing sports, right? And then you got a bunch of different factors. And COVID played a huge part in that, and bringing kids right back to the sports, so to speak. And you know, sports were wiped out in Fresno Unified in junior high for that whole year.
And
I think
elementary.
A lot of people forget that. And elementary.
And that's what we're experiencing right now, right? We're experiencing the fallout of that void of sport, not just for the skill work, but also the non tangibles. It's the commitment piece. Just understanding, there are three seasons of sports in high school, right? But they don't just go 4 or 5 weeks long. They are a commitment. It's a 2.5, 3 month, sometime more, commitment. And it's the little things like, how do we communicate? Who do we contact? I can't just say, no, coach, I'm not going to come to practice tomorrow, or even a game for that matter. The COVID effect is great, but we're coming up with systems and strategies to inform, to educate, to build, to grow, to empower, and to connect our parents to the information they need to support their kids to be successful in high school.
That is so, so important, because a lot of kids want to play sports, but they don't know who to contact sometimes. Hey, come out and play tennis. Absolutely. But they don't know, right? Mm-hmm. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know the communication. Tulare County Office of Ed did a fantastic job 6 weeks ago. I was able to take my eighth grade students to an event, and there were about 150 junior high kids from Tulare County, and the Office of Ed did an incredible job of helping them transition from junior high to high school. And I think that is super important. I'm so happy that you guys, you've taken the bull by the horns, and you guys are very proactive, and I think that's what you need to do. The heart, though, of a student athlete has changed a little bit as well. Maybe not. I wonder your opinion. Like, have students change, right? The impact of COVID and social media and, you know, what's cool and not cool, that's changed the landscape a bit. How have you seen athletes change over the last 5-10 years?
Sure. I spoke a little bit to that about them being a little confused about what that commitment piece looks and feels like. And so it really is about trying to get ahead of the confusion. And so, like, that the Athletic Summer Bridge Academy, a big piece of that is for our incoming freshmen.
Yeah.
So we can educate them so that, one, they understand everything that's available to them when they get to high school. Two, so they can try it out a little bit, right? Because we've got a lot of kids who have never tried, let's say, girls and boys water polo, lacrosse, because we don't have those sports in middle school, right? And so going back to that piece of partnering with Fresno Unified too, talking with Jeremy Ward, you know, what do we do to provide opportunity for our kiddos in the water before they get to high school? And so we are partnering with Fresno Parks and Recs for blue spaces so that the pools are open and free, and we're providing skill work to our communities. Hoover is one of those locations. So kids in our community can come in and they can start, one, just getting exposed to, this is what we can do in water, right?
Yeah.
These are the ways that we can have fun. These are the strokes. But also, there are games. There's a game called water polo, and, you know, with a ball and scoring and all that good stuff. And so we're just trying to build our youth programs a little bit more, but intentionally providing opportunity. And I do appreciate that Fresno Unified is starting to jump in and help us with that support and partner with our high school coaches. Right? So our high school coaches are not out there floundering on their own, but they are actually starting. They've always been there, but now we're being more intentional about those partnerships. So
talking with Dara Johnson, athletic director at Hoover High School, and you're right. And I think in the last couple of years, you've probably had coaches that are looking for kids in the hallways. Hey, you want to play sport? You want to do this? But now they're going to know about these sports before they get there the freshman year and become interested. I definitely want to talk about Unified Sports. It's amazing. It's an amazing program that you guys have at Hoover. Can you explain what Unified Sports is? And
I'd be happy to. And I would be remiss if I did not give a huge, huge shout out to Sean Toomer. He is one of our head Unified Sport, but he oversees Unified Sport for our area. He's the one that creates the schedules. He communicates with our partnering leagues or partnering school districts that also have Unified Sport. So let's go back a bit though. Unified Sport is this beautiful collaboration between our Special Olympians and our Gen Ed students, right? And so it's a partnering on the court. Let's just take basketball, for example. You actually have the partnering of some of our current boys and girls basketball players, varsity basketball players, JV basketball players, and then they partner with some of our Special Olympian basketball players. And they play other schools made up of the same, you know, makeup. And it's a full game. And I'm telling you, one, it's a blast to watch. Two, the level of competition is growing and it's exciting. And the skill work being presented on that court, I saw a give and go that blew my mind, during our season when we had the fortunate opportunity to play Clovis East. It was Hoover versus Clovis East in our gym. And it's just, it's beautiful. And the sportsmanship, right? But we're not talking, this isn't just giving the ball over to one of our Special Olympics and opening a wide lane for them. No, they have to work for it. I mean, they're making moves out there, you know? And so it's really exciting. But that's just one sport. So right now we have unified soccer, unified basketball, unified track and field. And we just had three of our Hoover athletes go 1-2-3 at the Division III area track meet last night in Napoma. So super excited for them. They're going on to the next level, right? So again, providing opportunity for kids and a chance to build character through that. I mean, it's a beautiful way for our varsity athletes to build character and partnering with some of our Special Olympians and really realizing, you know, the things that we might take for granted, the things that we should value, and again, those relationships.
It is beautiful. I've seen unified soccer, and when anybody scores a goal, the celebrations, it's so entertaining. It is so, you know, heartwarming. It's all those things you can imagine. So yeah, I'm super happy that Hoover's able to partner with that. Want to talk a little bit about the gym as well, right? Why did I put the original gym in my nose? It's not called the original gym. What's wrong with you? What do you guys
are
call
you talking
it?
About the West Gym?
Yes. Why do you put original gym? Yes,
so that's
the West
where I
Gym.
Played.
That's where you play, the West Gym. So it's looking a little bit different than it has in the past, right? So what's it look like right now?
Yeah. So and it's always in a state of we are always in a state of growth, but new bleachers look gorgeous. Shout out to Tim Carey for making a lot of that happen. And we put in a whole row of new storage. Just, you know, campuses and storage are always a tough thing. But also when you are trying to build programs, we have more equipment, right? We have shooting machines. We have just all kinds of fun things too. We have a Vertimax machine. Like, where do you put that, right? These are big, bulky things. Coaches to provide opportunity through more equipment. But you're also going to start seeing, I think, even more like branding happening, right? We've got all of our feeder schools logos going up in our event center here in the next 2 weeks. And it's fun being able to connect to our community and also let our community know, we know about you. We love your partnership. Thank you. Let's keep going. If you wouldn't mind, I would love to pivot for a minute and talk about the Inside Out Coaching Initiative. Are you familiar with this at all?
Let me know.
Okay. So I'm part of a pilot group, so to speak. Sue Farmer's doing it from Sunnyside, Tim Carey down at the district office now, and myself. It's hitting California. It's hitting the West Coast. So it originated by Joe Ehrman, and he played in the NFL. He's a big-time author and just an advocate, I think, of healthy sports out there in general. And it's making its way to the West Coast. Our commissioner put it out there for us. Hey, there's this initiative happening. You might want to jump on board. I know Marty Bitter in Madera Unified actually went through all this with all of his athletic directors, and they've gone down with their coaches. But so I'm fortunate to be part of this new cohort. And we meet every couple of weeks, and I've met athletic directors from all over the nation, and part of a cohort currently of about 300 athletic directors. And we get to share things that work, things that don't. But it's the whole basis of the concept is we plan, we prepare, and we really want to win. Of course, who wouldn't play anything without the intent to win? But the markers of a success go way beyond the scoreboard. And it's identifying what actually does it mean to be successful in today's climate. I heard you speak a little bit earlier about social media, right? And the impact that might have on a student athlete's life, the ways to navigate through that, but also the building of character, as a coach, as a player. I mean, athletics was, again, the cornerstone of who I became because of the character pieces that were embedded throughout my career and my experience. And so really just trying to get back there, though, to being able to recognize that success comes in all forms. So I really encourage any athletic director out there to check it out. And always, they can always reach out to myself, Sue Farmer, Tim Carey, if they're curious, you know, in the area, what it's about.
Talking with Dara Johnson, we got a couple minutes here, Dara. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head. And you know, we talk a lot about high school sports and the life lessons that you learn, right? Small percentage playing college, even smaller percentage could play professionally. The life lessons that you learn in high school are immense. The, you know, one of the reasons why I love doing this and I love having a show and talking to people like you is because high school sports are important to us, and we realize how important they are, right? You know, it's beyond the wins and losses. We celebrate teams, and we celebrate, you know, a lot of the good stuff for a good reason. But life lessons are certainly important. I want to ask you, too, Coach, do you miss coaching? Right?
You know what, though?
That's how we met.
We met
with basketball. You started the little Pates program, uh-huh. and we worked together. Our daughters are the same age, and it was just, those were just fun times, an innocent time, so to speak. But do you miss all that?
Yeah, I do. But here's the thing. I used to coach kids, student athletes. Now I coach adults, right? And it's exciting. I do and I don't. I really love what I'm doing right now. I feel like all of those, that the 25 years that I coached, I feel like gave me the foundation for what I'm doing now, right? And being on the front lines and feeling the obstacles that were in our way, I am really excited to be in this leadership position to try and break down some of those obstacles for the many coaches on Hoover's campus that are fighting for our kids every day. Like I said, I left, you know, Hoover at 8:45 last night. I still had two other coaches that were there too, right? Ashley Chivera, my girls basketball coach, is working her tail off and providing opportunities. She took what, you know, we were involved in at the beginning, Paul, and that team of those five young kids, and she has continued to grow it into five teams of youth basketball girl players, right? So that's the exciting thing, is the landscape is really growing for all of our student athletes out there too. But she is completely invested in the Patriot community, the Hoover community, and the opportunities that she's providing are unreal. And I can go on and on and on about every one of our coaches at Hoover and the work that they're putting into it. I am lucky partnering with them. So
amazing. We got to take a break here, Dara. And I knew this time would fly by.
I know,
absolutely,
it really did.
20 minutes is not enough. But you are a shining star in the community. You are a Hoover through and through, and your passion shines through. I'm a little surprised, actually. You didn't cry. you're kind of a cry when you get passionate talking about your kids, and I absolutely love it. And you're an amazing person. It was a pleasure for me to have you on today. Really appreciate you.
Thank
greatly.
You. I appreciate you, Paul. Appreciate it.
That was Dara Johnson, athletic director at Hoover. Coming up after the break, we have Zach Weaver, Buchanan track and field star athlete. Stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun for the next hour. Coming up on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Yeah, and you can follow me, I like to say, on the Twitter machine. Sounds kind of funny. At Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. Softball and baseball brackets are going to be released this afternoon. Always fun to talk about those, anticipate those. We'll be check the social medias for that as we come closer to that. Just the conversation I just had with Dara Johnson, athletic director at Hoover. I mean, hopefully her passion was able to come across in there. I'm sure it was. She's Hoover through and through. She loves her school. She loves the student athletes. Great things are happening at Hoover, and you know, I gotta be honest, a lot of Fresno Unified schools get a lot of flack, and but you know, Hoover is doing things right. All those programs that she mentioned, trying to build a gap between the communication between parents and student athletes, and and elementary, and you know what it means to be a Patriot when you get to high school. Those things certainly have meaning. I want to welcome Zach Weaver to the show. He's Buchanan track and field, cross country, headed to Arizona State. You know his dad. His dad is Brian Weaver, the doing phenomenal jobs at Buchanan, the head of the CAS State track and field, the Masters meet, which is next week as well. Buchanan's heavy favorites to win next week. You know, if things work out, state title is in the mix as well. So, Zach, first of all, thanks for happy Saturday to you.
Yeah,
thanks for coming
on. Thank you for having me.
What's a normal? So yesterday, yeah, the Division I meet. We're going to get into that in just a second. But after a meet, like, what's a normal Saturday for you? You said you woke up at 7, so you're not letting yourself sleep in too much. But what's like a normal Saturday, the day after a meet, which is Friday meets are usually odd, but like the next day after a meet?
Yeah, so normally on Saturday we'll wake up and a couple of guys will go for like a distance run, recovery run. So I had to wake up just an hour earlier. We had to run a little earlier because I knew I had to come to this. And so we woke up at 7, ran at 8. We ran 6 miles, nice and easy. So yeah.
Easy 6 miles, yeah. No problem.
Yeah,
young bucks, easy 6 miles. Oh my gosh, that sounds so foreign to me. So yesterday's meet. I also want to mention too, you guys are the state leader right now in the 4x8, right? You guys have the top time 4x8. That's pretty awesome. Yesterday's meet. What events did you run? What were your times, and how did yesterday's meet go?
Yeah, so it was overall a great meet. You know, our guys pulled away the win, and sort of the girls. So. Great aspect in the team aspect. And so I ran the 1600, which I placed second, and the 800 I got third, and then our 4x8 got first. So it was overall a great day. And the mile, it was kind of what we call a sit and kick. So we kind of went out slower, and then the last lap we really went for it. And so I think I ran about 4:16 around there. So not crazy fast, you know. And then the 800, I ran 155. I got a little boxed in, and so I had to run down a bunch of guys the last 100 meters to get third. And so, and then the 4x8, we – so the first leg was – they went out very, very quick. You know, they ran the split of like 153, 154. And so it kind of shocked us, but our second and third leg – dropped the 800 from the, and so they ran the mile before, they dropped the 800 to be fresh for the 4x8, and so we knew we can count on them. And then I just had to carry us home so for the anchor leg.
And you run the anchor on the 4x8. I definitely want to get into the aspects of track and field and the strategy, and you hit on that a little bit, right? You're going out fast, I got boxed in, you're using all these phrases that may be unfamiliar to a lot of people. So let's talk about that. Boxed in.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the 800 by yourself. It wasn't the relay. So the strategy behind that, being boxed in, right? The little details that guys try to do to you. I mean, explain to everybody out there what that means and what that might look like.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it was the front two guys were kind of a little bit ahead, and there's three guys, so one of them's in lane one, one of them's right next to another one, kind of in lane two, and then one of them's kind of at another person's, let's say, 5 o'clock, kind of in there as like a diagonal to them. And so I was in the middle of that. So for me to get around them, I would have to back off a little bit, go all the way around into lane three just to get around them all. And so it's kind of like they formed like a little wall in front of me. So that's.
Is that something that other runners do intentionally, right? Like, hey, I want to box this guy in because I know his strength is this. Is that part of the strategy sometimes?
It potentially can be. I don't think especially those guys. I mean, I know a bunch of them. They would never really try to. They're all just trying to run fast. They're pretty much the whole field was fresh except for me and Noah. And so, they're all going for it. You know, they weren't being it on purpose, you know, and they know that Noah and I are big dogs. And after the race, they're like, they even like apologized for kind of boxing me in a little bit. They're like, oh, we're sorry. We didn't mean to box you in. You know, we know you're a big dog. And it's like, oh no, it's all right. It's part of racing. I got around it, you know, just making me better. So yeah.
Well, those guys that you're racing against, you know, in the Masters meet or yesterday, you know those guys. You've grown up with them. How about at the state level? Is it a different animal with that? Like, you got guys from SoCal like, all right, who's this chump here? I'm going to beat him and everything. Is it just no holds barred?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I haven't raced these. I only raced a couple of them at the Mount SAC meet, and that's when Noah and I went 1-2 in that meet. We both ran 152, so it was a PR for me, and it was a little bit off of Noah's PR. And so that was a big time race. That was the first time I raced those SoCal guys. And so yeah, definitely. I mean, we barely know them, you know. And we just, some of them could be mean. I mean, we just don't know. It's just the unknown for us. So.
So you run cross country as well. We talked a little bit off air about cross country season. It's a different animal, right? Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. What is, in your mind, what is the main difference between, I mean, there's tons, right? But for the basic explanation of this, what's the main difference between cross country and track and field?
The main difference would be cross country is more team oriented and track is more individual. Even though there is, we still run for track as a whole team. We score points. That's how we win a team title. Cross country, I mean, you're counting on your number five guy to come in and then your six and seven to come displace people. And so it's a lot more tight knit. I have established a tight knit group in my track crew. And I talk to the sprinters, talk to the throwers. I mean, we're all buddies, you know, cause I mean, we're going to go to the state meet together. So it's really great to, have everyone supporting each other, you know, their cheerers on, we'll cheer them on. So, and we know everything about each other. So it's, I mean, we know when, if they PR, they had a great day. I mean, our pole vaulter PR'd yesterday, school record, you know,
I think second all time in central section, right?
Yeah.
He jumped 17-1, I believe.
Yeah. So it was a great day for him. And, our discus guy, he won discus and shot yesterday. And so, yeah, we had a big PR and triple jump. And so, yeah.
All right. So what do you prefer? The ground of cross country and what that course holds? Obviously, you're very familiar with Woodward Park, or, you know, the track, right? Yeah. Like what are the main differences mentally, right? I mean, you got different shoes. You got a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. But how about mentally, the difference between the two types?
I think track and field is overall, I like it better than cross country. Cross country, it's a lot. I think it is mentally a little bit harder because it's longer. It's, for me, it feels long. 5K feels long for me. And then it's not so much like going up and down hills, because I'm pretty strong going up and down hills. It's just being able to keep attacking. And I feel like we, as a team, we finally figured that out. And that was when we all started running really, really well. We just kept moving. And that's in track, that just happens naturally. You have to keep moving. You have to see what's going on. If you're boxed in, you got to move around. You got to always keep your head on a swivel. What's going to happen? People can let up. You're going to clip someone. You know, there's all these, it's so tight in track versus cross country. I mean, you can go wherever. You can go wherever, but you know, there's so much more space in cross country. I definitely feel like cross country's a lot. It's just a little bit harder mentally than track, and it also some people could disagree. I mean, a lot of the guys on our team they say they like cross country better just because of they like the team aspect. They like longer distances, you know. And so I guess it's just preference.
Talking with Zach Weaver, Buchanan, track and field and cross country. Cold weather or hot weather? What do you prefer?
I like cold.
You like the cold?
I can always warm up while running. That's what I, yeah.
Describe the most like difficult practice that you've ever had. One that you just, maybe you hate the sport while you're doing it and hate the sport after. Is there one specific practice that you remember you're like, what am I doing to my body here?
Yeah, I think.
Or what are they putting me through? What's my dad putting me through?
Uh-huh. I think it was during cross country, and it was our first day of running. And so we call them tempo triangles. And so it's basically just tempo miles. And It was our, so normally we would do a certain amount, so it'd be about four. Excuse me. And this time we would go for time, and so it would be like, oh, you have we're running for 20 minutes, and you got to get to that fourth one. I mean, that's 5 minute pace. You got to get to that fourth one, and I just remember going to the third one, and we were behind, and I'm like, oh my goodness, we gotta run hard. And it was like 105. It was a hot day.
How many times have you puked in practice? Are you a puker or other guys?
I'm a puker after a race. I've only ever puked once after practice, and that was actually last year. A couple of days before the state meet, I ran an all-out 600, and that was the workout for the whole week. And so that, because I was preparing to run the 800, the state meet, and so I ran so hard. For some reason, my dad had it, and I have it too. After the first race, you know, it just comes up, and it's not even food, you know. I think it's lactic acid. I don't know. You know,
it's just junk.
Yeah, just comes up.
your career in high school didn't start off great. You had an injury. Mm-hmm. It wiped out pretty much your whole freshman season, right? Mm-hmm. What was the injury, and how were you able to recover, and what happened with all that?
Yeah, so I developed a cracked femur in my left hip, and so it came about. I had a stress fracture in my right ankle, and so we think that I was overcompensating with the boot and just going back and forth hobbling along. I mean, I remember we went to Disneyland, and I was on the boot. We walked 13 miles in one day. And so I was just on the boot hobbling along. And so I think that kind of started it, and then I kept running on it for about 6 months. And one day I was just like, I needed an MRI. I needed an X-ray. And so somehow it was cracked. And so I was out for another 6 months. And so that was basically my whole freshman year. So, yeah.
I want to mention, too, you know, growing up in a track and field family, cross-country family, with your dad and going to state meets since you were young. I mean, how has that been growing up with track and field your whole life? I mean, when did you first compete? You know, has it always been track and field for you? Did you play other sport? But, mainly what was it like growing up in a track and field family?
Yeah, I mean, I remember as a kid just going out, and I would sit with my mom on the grass, and I'd always wait for my dad to come get me at the state meet. He'd come get me, and he'd
like
bring
at 5, 6 years old?
Yeah, just very, very young, and he'd come bring me out, and I'd go out in the middle of the field, and I remember meeting like the superintendent, all these CUSD board members as just a little kid. I'm shaking their hands. I'm like, what is going on? And I would just stand there and just look around and just watch these races and watch just the energy. And it gave me the chills of how exciting it was. And so that's what I've grown up. I've grown up on that track. You know, I know everything about it, you know, and, everything. It's just super special. And all those moments that when he brought me out, that was special. You know, I've played, I mean, every sport under the sun. I played flag football. I never really played tackle football. I mean, but I did soccer, baseball, karate, swim, water polo. I mean, I did everything. And I just, running just stuck to it, you know.
Do you remember your first meet? So you mentioned how Veterans Memorial Stadium, you remember just how awestruck you was as a little person. And I'm sure the whole stadium just felt super huge to you. Like it was the biggest deal on earth. But, you know, do you remember your first meet that you ever like competed on that track?
I think, yeah, it was our, my fourth grade elementary meet is the area meet. And I ran the 1500, I think it was raining that day. And so, I remember all of a sudden I see my dad on the the big machine that cleans the track, and he's cleaning the track. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? What is that? And he's like, oh, this is where I clean the track, you know? I'm like, oh, okay, is it gonna be fast now? He goes, oh yeah, it's gonna be super fast now, super fast. And I don't even I I think I won. I mean, I don't remember. You know, it was so long ago, and it definitely was a special day. I mean, it's finally like, oh, this is my first race. You know, and now looking at it, I just that realization of the state meet that's gonna be potentially my last time running in that stadium. You know, and it's kind of sad a little bit. You know.
Talking with Zach Weaver Buchanan, and what do you feel like your career has led up to your senior year and this moment? All the work that you've done in the past, like, are all your goals very attainable? The last couple weeks of the school season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, all the hard work, all the ups and downs I've had, all the broken bones, all the tears, the blood, the sweat. I feel like everything is led up to this moment, And I don't feel as much pressure, you know. I just feel like it's gonna happen, you know. I'm confident in my teammates, you know. We can win a state title in that 4x8. I mean, we can even potentially win a state title in the team aspect. And so, I can place in the 800. I could potentially win the 800. And so, the goals are definitely there. I've definitely shown my training is at an all-time high, you know, and so, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
What other event, Zach, would you, if you could do any other event, right, if you could be a thrower, if you could be one of the top-line guys, you could be a jumper, what event do you wish you could excel at?
The 100. I like running fast, you know. I always ask, Dad, can I run the 100 and 200? He goes, no, you're not running today. And so at the dual meets, and so, I always joke around with the sprinters. I'm like, oh, I bet you I could beat you in a 4x1. And no, they can't come back and say, oh, I bet you I could beat you in a mile. Or
no,
they can't.
They could they not. Can't. No chance for those guys.
Yeah. And even in like a 400, it's still, no, they can't come close. And so, I like running fast. I like sprinting, you know, and I feel like I have power in my legs, and so
Arizona State.
Yeah,
that's where you're headed next year. Yeah. What went into you choosing Arizona State?
I think it was the legacy that they had. You know, Kyle Alcorn, CJ Albertson, and Cody Brazil. They all went there, and they all said they loved it. And so, and they have a good group of guys, you know, and I met them, and I felt like it was the right place, you know. I really liked it. I liked the atmosphere. I liked Arizona, even though it's a little hot, a little hotter than here. Just another one of those things. They practice in the morning, you know. I'm used to that, and so I just feel like that was the greatest fit for me. So,
and that's going to be happening in coming up after you graduate. I want to ask you too, Zach. What are some other hobbies that you have outside of track and field? Because you're not just all track and field, right? Well, I mean, what other things do you enjoy doing?
I definitely enjoy fly fishing. I go to Montana every summer with my great uncle. And so we go and we fish Montana. We go down a drift boat. And so it's a two-day in Montana. We go down the Missouri, whatever river our guide tells us to do. And our guide, he's the greatest. He will say, oh, here we go. There's a shelf right here. There's going to be a fish right there. Put it in the water and you wait. And so it's kind of, when you're fly fishing, you have, it's almost like a bobber, but it's an indicator. It's a little smaller. And so it's on the top of the water that you have a little bit of line, another fly, and then a little more line and another fly. So it's two flies. And so you're just watching the indicator, and the second that thing moves, you gotta hit it. You gotta pull up. You gotta start reeling, because that's a fish. And so and me and my uncle, we always have a competition. So I've recently been beating him. I think I caught like 24 fish. I mean, they're good sized fish. They're big rainbows. And so this last year, the second day, I was in the back of the boat, and my uncle was dry flying, and I still had the indicator, and I've gotten better at reading the water and seeing what's coming ahead, and I saw this giant shelf. I'm like, there's got to be a fish there. So I cast it out and roll. Before that, I had caught a massive brown trout. I mean, it was 18 inch, and that's huge for there. They're like, and our guide's like, you're never going to catch anything bigger than that. Oh my gosh. Not even 20 minutes later, I see this shelf. I lay it there. Bam, I was fighting that fish for about 10 minutes going down the river. And the guide, I had it in a little bit, and it took off running, and the guide, his jaw dropped. He saw that it was the biggest brown trout he's ever seen. So I got that thing in the water. I got it in the net, and he was just, he's practically crying. He's never seen a fish that, it was 25-inch brown trout. It had this big old bull nose. It was crazy. I mean, it was just magical. And these people were walking by their house, and they're baffled. They're just, oh my gosh, we've lived here all our lives. We've never seen anything that big. And so, it was just crazy. And my uncle's just shaking his head. He's like, of course you would catch that, you know.
I could tell, Zach, that this is definitely, it's not a hobby, Zach. That's a passion. You talked just as much about that story about fly fishing than you did about some of your races.
Yeah.
So I could tell how much you love fly fishing. We got about another minute here, Zach. This has been a wonderful conversation. What would be the perfect thing to happen to wrap up your senior year and your career at Buchanan? Put a bow on it.
Perfect thing. We win the 4x8, we win the team title, and I potentially win the 800. I place in the 800. That would be just the greatest day ever. You know, that 4x8 would just be the cherry on the top if we win that. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Well, next week are the Masters. The week after is your last state meet at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Zach Weaver, just really enjoyed our conversation. You are, one of the shining stars in the central section in track and field. And really enjoyed our conversation. Good luck next week and the week after and at Arizona State. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking more baseball. Mike Brink is in the house talking about Central Section Baseball, and much, much more on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the Los Angeles Lakers on your local sports leader, 1430 ESPN. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening in. Listen on the radio, obviously, 1430. You can also listen online. Got a nice app. I listen to the app sometimes. It was funny. Mike Brink here to my left. Mike Brink and Jose Gonzalez bring high school baseball games. There was a game that I was listening to while walking through the Fashion Fair Mall with my family. And I probably looked very, very odd and strange, right? By the pretzel guys, and then the hat place, and I got my phone up to my ear, listening to the high school baseball game, and I texted you guys during that game. I'm like, hey, guess where I am? I'm walking through Fashion Fair Mall, listening to you guys talk. You guys are doing a great job. But anyway, Mike has been around Central Valley baseball for a long, long time. Knows baseball through and through, you know, graduate of Clovis High, played at City, and has great memories, and umpired for a long time. And talk about his son, Jordan, who's playing in the minor leagues. And, first of all, Mike, yeah, thanks for taking the drive to here to First String, and happy Saturday to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. As I was coming down from Clovis, coming down Barstow Avenue, you had the AD, Ms. Johnson from Hoover, you know, and as I'm driving by, typically over the years, you don't see players out there hitting on the field at Hoover, right? And as I pass Fresno State and thinking about the future and what that stadium's going to look like, and then look to my right and I see Hoover, and I kind of glance out there and see some hitters on the field. So I'm like, what she was talking about is really happening over there. These kids are getting back into these sports at Hoover High, and you know, the facilities have all been upgraded. It's been great over there, so it's really good. A good buddy of mine is the head coach over there, Davey Jones. We call him the Lamore Lefty, and he's a guy that has a real heart for kids and passion for it, and you've kind of seen it in some of his work in the community. Knocked on a door for, I think it was Fan of the Day, and the kid was just shocked, you know, little 8-year-old, you know, and he gives him a hat and a shirt and comes out the next day and throws, uh, you know, the first pitch. So it was really cool to see and hear some of the stuff that she was talking about that Hoover's doing, because we need Hoover to be good. You know, it's always, in my day, Hoover was in our league. The NYL was basically everyone, Sanger, you know, Hoover, Bullard, Edison, and it was such a great league back then. And then, you know, as we've seen it over the years, it's kind of parceled off into their own little leagues based on the size. And I understand that, but I'm kind of the old school, love the old NYL days.
Oh, those are great days. And you nailed it. Coach Jones did an amazing job. He was on my show last year. And, you know, when you got Coach, you know, Dara Johnson, who was on, and you, the people that are passionate about what they do, and they get it. It's about the kids, about developing kids. And, you know, he was looking for donations for gloves for his feeder programs. He's like, hey, I'll take anything, anything. I know, like, Buchanan stepped up. There were a bunch of schools that stepped up and started donating things. So guys like that, you know, women like that that pour into the hearts and minds of athletes, they're awesome. That's awesome. That's what we need.
It's really great. And, you know, he kind of started his career as a head coach a little bit later in life. You know, he's in my age bracket, and we won't share that. But, you know, to have that passion and love for these student athletes and give his all, you know, at this time of his life, is just shows what character he has. And he's a great guy.
What I love about listening to the broadcasts with you on are your stories and, you know, your knowledge of baseball in the Central Valley. You know, you have the fans' perspective, you know, your son's perspective, coaching perspective, your own perspective. What do you love about calling games on the radio and providing that analysis?
Yeah, well, coming over from umpiring, you know, being a player, and then you coach a little bit, and you coach your son kind of coming up through the ranks and umpiring. And, you know, we've talked with, you know, the owner of this station for many years. Let's get more games on the air, right? Let's showcase these kids, and much like your show here today, you know, you get these four or five kids each week coming on, or three or four, whatever it is, to kind of showcase them and talk to them where, you know, if they, the old paper that we used to open and read every day, you know, that was our way to like see who was who at each school, you know, and go, oh my gosh, who's hot at Bullard today, you know, and avoid him, you know, or her in softball or whatever sport it is, you know. So I really love to, it's more relaxed, right? Like the umpiring, it's, you're 50% wrong 100% of the time, right? It's a boo or a yeah on every pitch or every call in the field. And, you know, having started that back in 1993 and then took a break for a while Jordan was kind of coming up through the ranks for obvious reasons, you know, didn't want to be doing a game that, you know, could affect Central at a later time. So got out just to watch him and be a part of that and, you know, the things my daughter was doing in cheer at Central. But just getting on air and just kind of seeing it from a different perspective, more of a relaxed perspective that you can just look out in the field. And, you know, the one thing about umpiring is you get that interaction with the player a little bit more, right? So you kind of know the personality, you know, the body language. And then when you're sitting up there in the booth and you're looking at that, you can kind of see that. You just don't hear it like you usually do as an umpire, you know? And so it's just been fun to, you know, kind of showcase a lot of these kids and talk about some of the skills that they have and some of the growth that they're, you know, they're going through. There's so many more freshmen in varsity. Like my buddy Chris Gonzalez and I were talking about, I think Monday or Tuesday, about like in our day, like you look at a varsity player and they were so much bigger than you, right? You're like, no way. I'm just worried about, can I jump to JV, right? Because it was just a natural progression. And nowadays you see these kids because of the better nutrition, the weight rooms, you know, dedication, you know. We played for the love and the learn of the game. Now it's just such a passion, you know. And these kids get in the weight room, and you can go to any of these weight rooms around here, and you'll see kids. They've got the shirts on, right, and you'll know who's who and where they're from. And, you know, so it's good to see a lot of these freshmen, but broadcasting these games, you know, when you see them as a freshman and then you see them again maybe 3 or 4 years later, that progression, that growth, that maturity – you know, that you'll see is it's amazing to watch. Just like the error that he makes as a freshman, you know, is not happening anymore as a senior.
Well, the jump from going to whatever travel ball, A3A, whatever they're playing to, if you're getting at bats on the varsity level, you're seeing, you know, consistent 87, 88. That's a huge jump. But the gap, right? The gap is getting closer. I'm saying like in 7th and 8th grade, you're seeing kids throw a lot harder, I think, than they did in the past.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I mean, just since 14, like when Jordan was drafted with the Cubs, it was like maybe, you know, a handful, felt like, of college guys that were 95 plus. You know, now, even in the high school, the kid at Redwood, you know, I heard Gabe talking about 98. And I'm like, Jesus, I got to get back out and see him, right? It's been a year since I seen him. And so, you know, I'm sure if he's 95, 98 in high school, the drooling's taking place. And with that Stanford degree or opportunity in his back pocket, you know, that's just such great leverage for him, you know. But, yeah, it's just, you know, these kids, you know, a lot of it is the weight room, but just, you know, a lot of these throwing programs, you know. Like I said, in 14, when Jordan got to pro ball, he's like one of a few. Now it's just like you're normal
exactly.
If you're 95 plus,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good to see, you know. And what's really crazy is there hasn't been as many injuries to arms that these guys thrown harder than I would kind of anticipate it, just because it's young ligaments, you know, and weights and maybe overlifting or incorrectly lifting, you know. But, yeah, it's been something to see. And these kids, I mean, the bats are a little bit, maybe the power's not there, but, man, the arms are just – off the charts.
Yeah, I think
statewide
this year in Central Valley, I think the arms are standing out. Arms are ahead of the bats. And I mean, heck, just yesterday, Fresno State, Eshawn Henderson and Noah Beal, a couple kids from the track pitching on the big stage. That was a lot of fun to see. Who are some teams, Mike, that has really impressed you this year? Right, we've talked a lot about the big guns, you know, the Bullards and the Buchanans, and Clovis High has had a really strong season. But are there some other or some of those schools, but are there some other teams that have stood out to you?
Yeah, well, we got to call maybe 2 weeks ago Kingsburg and Kerman. Kerman, a young team that's going to be really good for years to come. And then Kingsburg with those Hirschhorn horses, right? The, the two linebackers, and then the brother who's a, you know, a center in basketball or a
6'5".
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. He threw so well in that game against Kerman. And I'm like, man, Jim's got a nice little thing going here in Kingsburg. And, you know, that was fun to watch. They were very good. The center fielder with them, gosh, what was his name now?
Oh, there's a kid named Enns. Oh, and
Winslow.
Winslow. Yeah,
yeah. I was like, man, this guy, everything that goes in the air, he just went and got. You know, it's just, there's very impressive, very sound team. Jim's team's very aggressive. You know, so I enjoyed watching them this year. I haven't got to as many games as last year, right, because of this rain and these weird schedules this year. But the other team is Fowler. Very, very young, very, very aggressive. The pitcher on the mound, Jared Smith. I looked at him. I was talking to Gonzo. I'm like, what year is this guy? You know, he looked like a big senior. And then Mr. Cedarquist came up and got on air with us, and he's like, he's only a sophomore. I was like, my Lord, you know. Like, they've got that arm, right, to carry them the next two more years for sure, you know. And so it was fun to watch them. And then, obviously, what Derek Kuhn's doing out at Liberty, you know, that's not always a – in the past, it seems like the coaching carousel has been there, you know, every two or three years, and he's kind of brought some stability there. So I look forward to seeing what he's doing. He's a former Central shortstop, so, you know, it's good to see, you know, some of the former players getting back in and doing their thing in the coaching. But obviously, you know, Bullard, who's been one since the first game we did, you know, Cam throws the no-no against they
Clovis.
Gave up a run, but there was a
yeah.
no-no
yeah.
against Clovis. So that was fun to watch. And then the Clovis-Buchanan game that we did at Buchanan when Kasten hit the late home run, you know, that was two probably highlights of the broadcasting this year. But so far, every game's just been fun. And, you know, I kind of, like, in my mind, when Gonzo picks these games, I'm thinking, well, what are we doing, you know? And then afterwards, like, man, he's picking these really good games, you know? And, like, what's his magic there? But yeah, so it's been fun. I look forward to the playoffs now, you know, Wednesday, Friday. So hopefully we can see. But, you know, it's a new season, so everyone's, you know, 0-0, right? And everyone that, when it rolls out later today, you know, this is always an exciting time. The heat kind of turns, you know.
Yep.
And then the brackets come out, and, you know, you go from maybe a lightweight jacket in the evening to now you're sweating and looking for some soda or a water, you know.
Well, even today, it's like, hey, this is – we've turned a corner. It's just shorts weather from now on, right? Put away those pants. It's short weather. Talking with Mike Brink. I'm going to ask you too, Mike. So we got 16 teams in Division I. Hopefully 16 teams in all the other divisions, Division VI. We're not sure yet. But when it comes down to that crunch time, to playoffs, right, it's when everything feels a little tighter, where it's single elimination, where you're – you're grinding with these guys throughout the season. You're playing 25 to 30 games, and one error could be the difference between ending your season or, you know, laying off a pitch that you know you can't do anything with. Just those little details in your mind. You know, what's the most important factor in the playoffs? Pitching, hitting, defense. What are the key things to making a strong run?
Yeah, in baseball, we're always going to say pitching and defense, right? But I think it is the little things that maybe a back pick, you know, where, you know, 90 feet isn't always easy in the playoffs, right? Because it's ratcheted up. Everyone's, you know, got a little more adrenaline. So maybe that velo that was 80 is now 84. So getting bunts down. Maybe a little hit and run action, some things that are maybe abnormal to just the normal year, but, you know, still being aggressive, right? You don't want to be passive because it's not always easy to string three or four hits together against a guy from Redwood, right? Yeah. That's probably not going to happen, yeah. Right? So if a mistake's made, you got to really capitalize on that. And, you know, most of the top teams typically, you know, if you give them that crack in the door, right, they're going to go and put three or four on you in a hurry. So just got to play sound defense. You know, if there's a ball in right field in the sun and your glasses are on the top of your hat, why, right? Wear them, because that could be the difference, you know, in the memory that you have for the rest of your life. Because what I like to say during playoff time is a lot of these kids, it's going to be their last baseball, you know, with their high school buddies, or maybe they're not going to college, right? And so do you want to be that hero the rest of your life, right? Even though you may not be going on, it makes that diving catch that sends your team to the next round, you know? So it's always a fun time because, you know, it seems like new heroes, you know, rise during this time. And it's just maybe a kid that's a junior and he makes a great play. Now next year, he's kind of like that marquee player going into the new year. So just a fun time. But, yeah, you definitely got to play some defense, right? You got to throw strikes because, you know, with some of these teams that may have one or two horses or one and a half horses, you got to get your horse deep into the game, right? If you don't, now you're getting into that bullpen or getting into guys that, you know, maybe haven't been used as much. And then it's going to affect that on Friday, like Wednesday. And then Friday, you got to come back and it's like, oh my gosh, we used four guys. Now what do we do, right? So it's those teams, you know, like I think the Redwoods of the world, Buchanan, you know, maybe not have a big horse like they had last year that's at Old Miss now. Mm-hmm. But they've got depth. Right, they've got a lot of arms that they've been able to run out there this year and get some experience on the mound. And Clovis with three horses, yeah. Really, and then you get Morelli coming in, and you've got obviously Georgia's the freshman, you know, Phenom, Borbora, and Kasten, you know, and then Morelli has just come in and just dotted up the strike zone, and so you know those are some of the teams that just have the big horses. But I heard you mentioning Fresno High, you know, and with Gabe earlier, and yeah, it's like bumping up. I mean, that is quite the honor, and we actually did that game last year on radio when it was Fresno High at Clovis High, right? So it's kind of that old school feel that I had walking into that, like, oh man, this is the old NYL right here with Coach Pappy and, you know, Coach Poshin in my era, or Coach Nitschke prior to that, and, you know, both with these new fresh uniforms that are standing out. And and honestly, I told Jason afterwards, man, if you scored more, just that, I think it was the first or second inning, you know, this might have been a totally different game, because his arm was just dealing, right? And I think it was a 2-1 final, if I'm not mistaken. So I definitely think that they can compete. You know, Madera, I've spoke with Andy several times, and with Spino on the mound, that lefty, man, he's just progressed, and talking about a player progressing, you know, 4-year starter, you know, on the mound. You see this little kid up there just winging it up there. It's, you know, 77 miles an hour, and now he's, each year that velo has gone up, and he's learned how to pitch with a great coach in Andy Underwood, you know, guiding him. And that's a kid I talk about a lot, because it's like a lefty in the playoffs, and lefty in baseball is just different, you know what I mean? And so I look forward to kind of seeing how this thing unfolds. I get antsy on this day,
because I
want these brackets.
I can't wait.
Like, can you guys do these meetings on Friday night?
I know.
You know?
Yeah. They got us play a few games on Friday. Why don't you just end it on Thursday? I want to ask you your opinion, Mike. And, you know, you're old school. I'm a little bit old school. We both played baseball in the 80s. And playoffs, you had to earn it.
Yeah.
You had to earn it back in the day, and there were some teams that were good that didn't make the playoffs, and, you know, the format, and, you know, what's your opinion on that and playoffs and everybody makes the playoffs? So I know we have a couple provisions now, but, you know, right? It's different. It's different.
Yeah, it is different, and I think it's just part of the society now, right? Get more people to have an opportunity to be happy. You know, back in our days, you better got first or second place, right, or you weren't moving on. It was difficult, right? And NYL, when you got the Bullards, McLean was with John Sells, Gary Canfield, all, Brad Fonts, all these studs that were playing there. Bullard was loaded with everyone. You know, Clovis, we were good. Clovis West was good. It seems like every year Edison and Roosevelt would upset someone in the league, you know, because they would have a good arm that would Joey Greenidge at Roosevelt, Tim McDonald over at Edison, and, you know, you'd get upset by one of those teams, and that could be the difference at the end of the year, you know, and so no game back then could be taken lightly, like, oh, we're just playing Team X, right, and they're in last place. It didn't mean anything, you know, because they could beat you at any time, and so, yeah, I get it, I guess, now. I mean, I don't love it, right, because I am old school, but I think I've adjusted to it. I think I appreciate they're at least making the effort to try to, you know, get something that makes sense. You know, it just seems if they go left, everyone wants them to go right. If they go right, they want them to go left. So that happy medium, I don't know if it's getting closer. But, you know, at least they're trying. At least they're giving an effort, you know.
Yeah, lots of ways to look at it. I want to ask you too, Mike, who are some coaches? You mentioned old school. You mentioned a few of these guys. But who are some coaches growing up or coaches that you've watched evolve, some guys that you just, like, really impressed with?
Like in my era?
Yeah, anytime. Well, just like, man, I love the way they run their program.
Yeah, well, I will say this. I was in the Noakes era, you know, on the other side of the diamond, right? And that guy was full of energy. And I think I appreciate Coach Noakes more after high school than I did during. I was like, man, this guy is he's
a little different.
He's something, right? And then when you get to know him after your playing days and see him, you're like, man, I love this guy. And I think I really could have played for him, right? But I played for a great guy in Mike Poston, okay? Obviously, Samarco, during my era, was kind of the JV head coach, but then would come up to varsity and help with Merv Carter. Fernie Garcia at Roosevelt. A lot of good guys in our league. Hal Froese over at Hoover, Froese Field, and big supporter at Fresno State. Just so many good guys up and down this valley, you know, that you look back and you're like, gosh, if you could have had something from each one of them, man, I might have been a good player, right? but yeah, it's been fun to watch. And then obviously, I'm biased to Coach Fonts, you know, who's had my son at Central, and probably part of the reason why we stayed at Central. I love the old school coach mentality, you know, and it would have been easy to run because my ex-wife lived Central District, right? Kind of bordered with Bullard, right? So we kind of had some options. And then I was here in Clovis, and at the time it was Buchanan, as those district, you know, lines and boundaries change all the time. But, you know, when Fonts came in, I said, yeah, I need my kid to get beat up a little bit, right? And he did, right? He did. And he got to – Jordan got to see some things that, you know, will carry on for the rest of his life. Like, you're not late, right? That's one thing. And I'll still to this day remember that there was three starters. First game of track, Jordan's freshman year, three starters in the parking lot, and on their watch, they were on time. On Coach Fonts's, they were not on time, right? Yeah. And so they ended up taking off their jersey and sitting up in the stands with their game pants on, right? Well, one of them would have been the game one starter, okay? So it was like, all right, you got the game one starter in the track, and you got a coach that says, you know, sorry, you weren't here on time, right? And so that showed my son early on that 15 to 30 minutes early is on time. Or if you go to Fresno State, play for Batesville, if you're 15 minutes early, you're 30 minutes late, right? So he's kind of an anal kid even now in his playing days continues. He'll get there hour and a half early. You know, it's a long day at the park, but yet, you know, that was instilled, and you got to be there on time because, you know what, if you're late and you're setting an example, especially as a senior, and three of those guys were, that it's showing these, you know, the freshmen, the JVs, whatever, that it's okay to do that. And it wasn't. So, you know, Fonts being there was really, really good, you know, for my son.
We have a couple of minutes here talking with Mike Brink. I do want to explore, you know, Jordan and his career and, you know, Central, City, State, drafted, still pitching in the minors. What about his journey has impressed you, and how much does your chest puff up when you watch your boy pitch still?
Yeah, well, I will tell you, I'm most proud of him is just sticking with it, right? It's perseverance in professional baseball. And, you know, when he left Central and went to Fresno State after about fall of his junior year, he kind of felt a little something in his shoulder, right? But didn't really complain much because he's just a gamer, go out and play. And then when he did get drafted in 14 and through a couple outings, they started feeling more and more pain. So they came in, looked, found some cyst on his labrum, took a needle about 6 inches long, sucked out the cyst. You have to go through these 2 or 3 weeks of rehab. So it was a frustrating start to him with the Cubs. And then September 1 of 15, he ended up getting flown to Chicago to see the Cubs surgeon and then had some pins put in his shoulder through his labrum. And so, you know, one of the things the doc said, yeah, this is, you're probably not going to come back from this, right? Like, you'll never throw hard again. Well, that's really all that he needed. You know, he's that kid that's like, just tell me no, right? And I'll figure out a way. And so he, with Cubs staff, which he'll tell you if he ever comes on your show, what a great job that Cubs staff did with him to rehab him. And Ron Valone, ex-big leaguer, went through the same thing. So he was kind of a rehab coach with that PT team to get him back. And so just the perseverance of, you know, he got released as soon as his velo came back from the Cubs, and then, you know, had to go the route of independent ball for a couple of years to kind of reestablish himself and his name. And then since then, it's been crazy with Rule 5 draft and then next year, and then COVID hit and he gets Rule 5. So he never actually played for the Cardinals, only played a few games with the Brewers, and then got taken by the Cardinals and got taken by the Rays, and then became free agency. With free agency, for a lot of people that don't really realize, that's right, currently it's after 7 years of playing in pro ball, you get the opportunity to, you know, get money from whoever wants to give it to you, right? It's going to change now that they're union in the minor leagues, and it's going after 6 years. Okay, so when he had that opportunity a year ago, the Padres called like the minute after, you know, that there's a certain time that they can call you by. And you know, he was like, yeah, should I do this? And his agent was working with him, the Giants, A's, and a couple of their teams. And he said, yeah, I think this would be a good opportunity. And he signed with the Padres and then got wanted the release at the end of the year, but also was granted the release and then got picked up right away by the Twins. That's where he's at now. So, you know, it's been a perseverance thing. It's like, you know, dad, I've always preached, like, you can work the rest of your life, right? You can go be dad and, like, miserable Monday through Friday, you know, and I'm kidding, but, you know, have to deal with that Monday through Friday rather than going to play for money, you know, 6 days out of seven, right? So, yeah, just the journey that he's been on, and we've got to see a lot of things. We've been to Elvis Presley's house on road trip across the country to get him to spring training, and just different things along the way. Got to stop at University of Oklahoma and see that. So, yeah, it's just been a great journey. And, you know, I'm sure he could tell you 1,000 more stories that are better than mine. But it was just good as being a father to be able to experience that with your son.
Absolutely, yeah. And I definitely want to have Jordan on the show. Mike, it's been a great conversation. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Appreciate you as always. You do a fantastic job calling games with Gonzo. Your knowledge of baseball in the Central Valley is next to no one. So I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for everything you guys do all year long. It's just great to listen to these shows on the weekends or catch it on the podcast, because it's just awesome, you know, as a former parent of a high school kid to, you know that there's someone out there that's giving their kids a little bit of pub.
Thank you. Absolutely appreciate it. Thank you to First String Sports, Jorge Rodriguez, Gabe Camarilla, Derek Johnson from Hoover, Zach Weaver, and Mike Brink. We will talk to you guys soon.
You're listening to the home of the San Francisco.